Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for gathering us today. We pray as we worship you that you would be glorified, that we would lift up your name. We thank you that you are Lord God Almighty. And Father, speak to us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's here again, the overwhelming voice of worry. It's loud and it's crippling. It's unwanted company that causes great isolation. So we look inward and ask ourselves, how do I get out of this? What can I do to make this go away? Defeat and exhaustion are often the result of this way of thinking. Because the truth is, we were never meant to bear these burdens alone. But pride blinds us. It deceives us into believing that we are the answer. But God, in his kindness, being the great shepherd that he is, gently lifts our heads and reminds us to look up. Look to the one who uses the earth as his footstool, who clothes the lilies of the fields and nourishes the birds of the air, the one who calms the raging seas and commands the wind to obey his voice, to the one who has numbered every grain of sand and sustains all of creation. Is anything too hard for him? It's our faith in him that will silence worry, and worry will be replaced with peace that surpasses all understanding. So cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you.
We started this series just last week. A lot has happened in our world that has even magnified some of our worldwide uncertainty, some of our fear, some of the things that we're anxious about. And so as we're talking about David and Goliath, this is part two, but I'm going to catch you up, so don't worry. I'll catch you up on part one. We'll just kind of go through. And so remember, the Philistines are on one side of the valley, all right? The Israelites are on the other side. They camp up on top of the hill. They come down to fight in the valley. And then nobody wants to cross over the valley because nobody wants to fight an uphill battle. We don't want to fight that still, okay? And then we saw in 1 Samuel 17, 4 through 8, that Goliath was huge and very strong. When you look at this graphic of all his stuff that he wore, and you see all of that, you start knowing, wow, he's a big guy. And we talked last week about if you stumble across one translation that says he was 7.5 feet tall, and another that says he was over 9 feet tall, and you want to get snagged on that, remember, even though we look for the details, this is a theological. It's a history of God moving. And even though we're so focused on details and wanting to know every dotted I and every cross T, we want to keep looking for the main thing, having the main thing. And then we learned in the next verses, we learned that Goliath was relentless, just like our giants. Relentless. He'd come down every morning and every night and try to make deals with them. If you send one warrior out who can beat me, you'll win the whole thing. You'll get all that we have and we will be your servants. And the Israelite warriors were like, dude, that guy's huge. I'm not really interested in that. He's too big. All right, and so we saw that they were terrified and deeply shaken. And then we saw in 1 Samuel, the next couple of verses, we saw that David was the youngest of 8 boys, bringing food and supplies to his 3 brothers that were serving in the battle, and he was bringing news back to his father. We knew he was a shepherd, Okay, and that was his job. Now, we like details. We want to know how old he was. It doesn't tell us how old he was. He's not as interested in the details as we are. But we know he's a boy. We know he's just a boy who's coming. So you can look and know that he was king at age 30. It tells us that. And you can do some backward math and try to figure things out, and you get to the place of knowing that he was anywhere between 10 and 19 years old. 10 and 19. It's a detail that we want to know what his birthday was. It's not really important. All we need to know is he's a kid. All right? So he's a kid who's a shepherd. What do I believe? I think he was probably around 15, 16 years old. But can I tell you that that's for sure what he was? No, I can't. I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. So we know that about him. 40 days of taunts. They would just keep taunting him. Just keep taunting him. Is this ringing too much? Because I can switch to another mic. No? Okay up there? All right. I think I'm hearing the monitors behind me. So we know that we don't know how old he was. We know that this is a picture of the valley that they were fighting in. It's farmland today. It's farmland. David, while he's making a delivery, that this giant is taunting him and taunting all of the Israelites. He's making his delivery, and then we know while David's there, the giant shows up and does his normal thing. We talked last week that 40 days seems like, wow, what a very detailed thing. And then we talked about all the different times that 40 days comes up in Scripture. And the symbolic, it is a long time. If you're a literalist and you want to say it was exactly 40 days, there was a guy there who was counting and he was marking it off on the calendar, that's okay with me. Fine. It's a detail that all I need to know is it was a long time and it was relentless and painful every single day taunting them. And then this is where we are. Now, we're going to go through, and I want to encourage you to just maybe close your eyes. If you're a visual learner, follow along on the screen. David Holmes over here, who is a voiceover specialist now, provided us with the recording and storytelling of this next section.
They began to run away in fright. "Have you seen the giant?" the men asked. "He comes out each day to defy Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him. He will give that man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempted from paying taxes." David asked the soldiers standing nearby, "What will a man get for killing this Philistine and ending his defiance of Israel? Who is this pagan Philistine anyway that he is allowed to defy the armies of the living God?" And these men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that is the reward for killing him." But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. "What are you doing around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You just want to see the battle." "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. "Don't worry about this Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or a bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do it to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who has rescued me from the claws of the lion and the bear, will rescue me from this Philistine." Saul finally consented.
"All right, go ahead," he said, "and may the Lord be with you." Then Saul gave David his own armor, a bronze helmet, and a coat of mail.
David put it on, strapped the sword over it, and took a step or two to see what it was like, for he had never worn such things before. "I can't go in these," he protested to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off again. He picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them into his shepherd's bag. Then, armed with only his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine. Goliath walked out toward David with his shield-bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy.
"Am I a dog?"
he roared at David.
"That you come at me with a stick?"
And he cursed David by the names of his gods.
"Come over here, and I'll feed your flesh to the birds and wild animals,"
Goliath yelled. David replied to the Philistine, "You come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut your head off, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us." As Goliath moved closer to attack, David quickly ran out to meet him. Reaching into a shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it with his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in, and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they turned and ran.
So here we are. We look at this story, and some of you, if you're reading along or you're at home looking in your Bible, you might have something different here. And because we are so concerned with details, and we are detail people, and we tend to miss the main thing. Remember Alistair Begg saying, "The main thing is the plain thing, the plain thing is the main thing." We still look for the little nitpicky details. So we've got a problem that arises here. Some of your translations and some of what you've grown up, you learned that David killed the giant with the stone. But some of your translations, most of them as a matter of fact, say he killed him with the sword. Some people argue and go, "Oh, did he kill him twice?" You know, so some people grab this. This is called one of Archer Gleason's book, Bible Difficulties. A great book with all of these things that people look at and say, "This is a contradiction. This is a problem." No, it's not. It's not a problem. So the New Life, the New Living Translation says David killed him with the giant's own sword. And we look and see your version might say something different. That then he cut off his head. He killed him and then cut off his head. So there's a resource that you can use in how to study the Bible. I posted it on our prayer page this morning just as an example of all the different versions and how they report this. Okay, but the King James Version says this. He drew the sword out of the sheath and slew him. Yetheth, or whatever. Then the New American Standard says he drew it out of its sheath and killed him. The New International Version goes a little different. Then he ran to the Philistine, took his sword from him, drew it, finished him off. Finished him off with it and cut off his head. So look and say, "Wait, well, what happened?" Remember, David killed the giant. Now, whether he fell and bounced, or how many times he bounced, or whether it was a stone, or whether it was the sword, or whether it was this, when we get so focused on the nitpicky details, we miss the main thing being the plain thing, and the plain thing being the main thing. So, my opinion, I think, and this is just my opinion, And so some translations disagree. And I had just so much Hebrew and Greek in seminary that I am this much of an expert. So if I'm going to compare myself to these panels that are doing translations of these people who have PhDs and all this, and all they study is language, I can't. So remember, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you, well, in the Hebrew it says this, and what it actually means is, because I can't overrule the translations. But why do a few of them disagree? Well, because the Hebrew isn't clear. The text isn't clear. It basically says, like the NIV does, that he finished him off. Was he, you know, like a Monty Python thing, just mostly dead? Or, I'm feeling better, I think I'll go for a walk. You know, no, we know he's laying there unconscious so that David can stand over him and cut off the sword. Now, my opinion, as though it matters, I think that David knocked him out with the stone, and that he fell. Now, it's interesting to me that David picked up stones. He had a chance to have armor, spears, all the things of war, but he picked up and used what was available to him, right? Picked up those stones. I think it bonked the giant in the head. He fell down, boom, and then David went over, pulled out that giant's own sword because he doesn't have one. And this is a thing that you know that it's a humiliation to that whole Philistine army to have their champion downed by a boy who's not wearing armor or anything, and then the boy uses the giant's own sword to cut off his head and bring that back as a trophy. I think that was a humiliation piece that says when God overcomes his enemies, there is no doubt. I think that God, when he does that, there's some that just takes pride and goes, and for 40 days, thereabouts, the giant has been coming out every morning and evening and going, you guys, you're nothing. You're not enough. Look at you, Scar. You just represent who? Saul. Ooh, he's so scary. And he's just mocking them. And he's mocking their God. So that's kind of what I think. But how do we take the main thing being the plain thing and the plain thing being the main thing in this story? I gave you last week what I see that David did here. Number one, as he faced his giant, number one, he sized up his giant in comparison to God, not himself. He wasn't like, ooh, I am the mighty warrior bringing all that I am to face this. Yes, he did talk to Saul about his abilities and why he should let him, but he presented even to the giant, who's going to slay him? Did David ever say, it's going to be me? I'm going to slay you because I am awesome and I am this. No. He said, the Lord is the rescuer and the Lord will give you to us. He wasn't saying me, me, me. But he looked at that giant, knew it was real. So he didn't get into denial. Okay, didn't get into denial of saying that's not a real giant. He's only 7 feet tall, not really 9 feet tall. And he's not all that much. So it's, you know, if you have enough faith, David, he's not really there. All that. He didn't do any of that. He saw what it was in comparison to God. God is the Almighty. And we're going to sing a hymn that's been around for hundreds of years to end with an organ again. I love when Ed plays the organ for us. And we get to sing some of those old songs that God is the Almighty who does the battle. And then the next thing, if we're sizing up our giants in comparison to God, sizing up the giants we're facing in comparison to God, they're not all that much. Now, the second thing, he said, take steps to deal with it. Stop running. Use the tools available to you to knock it down. That's what David did. He said, I'm picking up these tools. I'm taking these 5 stones. I'm putting them in my bag. I'm going to use what's available to me, and God is going to conquer this giant. He's not worried about that. So I look and say, well, what tools do you and I have as we face our giants? As we face our giants. I shared with you this spring my giant that I was going through, where my mind was just like telling me, yeah, you're not qualified, you can't do this, you're not good at this, and the patterns of some depression, of thinking I would walk away from here and say, wow, that stunk. That was terrible, Scott. Why did you mess up? You forgot that whole section. And I had this going on in my mind, and it was just like crashing into things, and I knew on the one hand that I wasn't processing things right, but on the other hand, I was believing the lies that were going on in my mind. And I think to an extent that many of us go through that. And so I told you guys that I need to talk to somebody. I need to sort this out, because if I don't, I'm going to crash and burn. This is unsustainable, my current frame of mind. And so I told you, as your pastor, I'm going to talk to somebody, I'm going to see a therapist. And last night, the Monday night group gave me this shirt. It's okay to love Jesus and have a therapist. You know, that's true. There are a lot of Christians who will tell you that it's not okay. You're not enough if you love Jesus and you go to AA meetings. You love Jesus and you're in marriage counseling. You love Jesus because you should just step back and only trust Jesus. You know what I see that like? I see that like David going through that dry riverbed and not picking up any stones. I see it like him being like, all right, giant, we're going to slay you. Here we go. The giant goes, you got no spear, you got nothing. Well, what are you going to do? All right, Jesus, get him. You know, Jesus gives us tools that he will use to slay the giant. And it did so much for me through the months of going weekly and just sorting things out. Some of the books I read, some of them are wacky. And I was like, woo, shoo. So I tossed that one up. Others were like, wow, okay, I'm taking things. You know what they call it? It's like, what I did was I plundered the Egyptians. I took, when the children of Israel got freed by Moses and left slavery, they plundered the Egyptians. They took things that were around, packed their bags and stuff. That's why they had gold when they got out into the desert, to be able to melt to make a calf. That's a whole other story about how we as humans have God deliver us. And then we create a giant. We do it sometimes. So when we plunder the Egyptians, we're plundering those who have the science, the technology, everything. There are some who are Christians who say, you can't use any of that because it's worldly. I said, wait a minute. If God created us, and he created us in his image, and he's given us things we've found and discovered, it's okay to use that. I look and there are Christians who are like, this COVID thing, the whole vaccinations, it's the mark of the beast. It's the mark of I've grown up with every new technology being the beast. Have you? I mean, some of you guys are old, right? You're older than me even. Whew. You're older and you grew up and it was like, uh-oh. Remember when debit cards came out? It's the mark of the beast. Mark of the beast. Oh, now I can pay with my watch. Mark of the beast. Mark. Yeah, that's what it is. Oh, this president, we elect Jimmy Carter, mark of the beast. He's the beast. This Pope comes in, beast. That game, beast, 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 beast. And they're all looking around like everything is the beast. And I go, wait a minute. We will know, and we get to that point as we're following Jesus and saying, look, let's trust Jesus. Let's trust Jesus. The Bible never tells you to prepare for the last days. It tells you to prepare for the return of Christ. Notice that? If I were to ask you guys, what should we study? What class should we have? Probably 60% of you would go, Revelation! You know why? We love the details. We love to be like, oh, the seven-headed dragon and the little baby head's coming out and all this. And that represents, this represents not Netanyahu. And that one is this guy. And this. And we've been doing that for generations instead of preparing and saying, I will study the real so I know the counterfeit. I don't know why I went that way, but here we are. A little rabbit trail for you. I'm like a golden retriever. Squirrel. Okay. So taking steps to deal with it. Use the tools available to you to knock it down. Move forward. Move forward no matter what your giant is. Make the appointment. Make the call. Come out of hiding so that your brothers and sisters can support you, rally around you, carry each other's burdens. When David shared his story, the thing that really stood out to me and that he emphasized so well was the community that gathered around him. Nobody was like all rallying around him going, you're not guilty, you didn't do this, you're not. They just said, you did it, we love you, still love you. And supported him through that. And that's why we now have David giving us his gifts and using them for the Lord, because the Lord took that whole thing and said, I will be glorified because of you. Just like David said. Now, I like the part where David talked to the giant. He talked to the giant and he told it what was going to happen. Yeah, this is how David
replied to the Philistine. You come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut your head off, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he will give you to us.
I love that. I love that. David goes into detail, speaking to the giant. Hey, giant, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. The Lord is going to give you to us, and this is what I'm going to do with you. You see the giant's response to this? The giant was most likely like, ha, 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 ha. I got a little kid here, a 15-year-old, a 12-year-old, and whatever he is, he's a shepherd boy. He doesn't have any armor. He doesn't have a spear. Look at it. He is not. And I think, because when you look, somebody asked, what was the deal? How did he hit him in the forehead and in bed? Because when you look at the helmet, their helmets go down to here, or some of them had the thing down so you protected their head. How did he do that? And my theory, it's not in there, my theory is the giant was going, ha, 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 ha. That is my guess. And then it's like, hew, boom. Okay, boom. So how do we talk to our giants? How do we talk to them and tell them what God will do? My fear of the surgery that I'll have that's coming up. And it's coming up. We're getting to the stage. The next 5 weeks, I won't be here, and others will be speaking, and we'll do all that. And then all the yuckiness and all the stuff I have to go through, and all of that is building, and I've started taking from this story. And when that giant rears itself in my mind, I speak to it. I say, hey, shut up. Shut up, because let me tell you what my God is going to do to you. Because my God rescues his people. And so no matter what happens, I will glorify him, and he's going to be Lord, and everybody's going to know it. Because after I go through all this, I'm going to talk about it and give glory to God, because he's the one who delivers you from the giant. whether that giant be anything. Is the giant depression? Is the giant anxiety? Is the giant feeling like in your marriage that those things that Satan whispers when you're like going, oh, boy, we just seem to be roommates now. And then the next thing he says, well, you never really loved each other. And then the next thing he says, and this giant is trying to just dismantle your marriage. He's trying to wreck that family, and he loves another broken family. That's what Satan walks around like a lion, seeing who he can devour. That's what Scripture says. So we need to be like David and say, oh, I'm taking what's available to me. And Satan will tell you, no, you don't need counseling. You don't need to see anybody. You don't need to talk to anybody. You don't need to do it. You don't need that. And if you had enough faith, you wouldn't need it anyway. And if your marriage was good enough, you wouldn't have to anyway. And if this was your soulmate, you wouldn't need it anyway. Because everybody wants their soulmate. I'm like, wow, we went a long way from what it used to be like, hey, you kill the giant, here's my daughter. Wait, is she my soulmate? Wow, what? Wait, I got to find out. I mean, we're in that place where it's like all of these things, those giants that come at us, will we speak to them and say, listen, when that thing comes on the computer screen late at night and you're sitting there and that giant rears its head and you need to speak to it and say, no, let me tell you that my God is going to be victorious, and I'm shutting this off right now because he is victorious. Say 75 to 80% of all of us men that we struggle still more so with pornography because it's so available. It's so available to us. Well, that giant, we can speak to it. We can speak to it and say, no, I know what you're trying to do here. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to devour me. You're trying to ruin everything. You're trying to get me addicted to this, and so that I will lose the people I love, and I will lose this, and I will do things that I couldn't imagine myself ever doing. You're trying to do that. And so if we don't speak to it and tell it what's going to happen and how our God is going to devour it, take care of it, rescue us, and then be glorified through it. See, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us when it comes to following Christ. We can. And then the last thing, as Ed comes and gets ready to do our closing hymn with us, follow through with your giant. Follow through. Don't make it so that you start off and you go, well, I don't like that therapist. She really didn't do much for me. I quit. No. David took the giant down, then took the giant's own sword and said, watch this. A giant neck is not easy to go through. Okay, that double-sided sword. He took his own sword and finished it off. And we've got to do that with our giant. We've got to do that with our giants. After we close, after we sing this song, I would love for any of you guys who would like to come on up and lay hands, pray for me, pray for the surgery, pray mostly as we pray together that no matter what happens, I will glorify God. No matter what the giant does or says, that I will glorify God. That's my desire in all of it. But each of us has to follow through. Don't stop. Keep going and cut that head off to allow God to use you to defeat that giant and then talk about it so that God is glorified. Lord, we thank you so much that you do give us what we need to slay that giant. Whether that giant is named addiction, whether that giant is named insecurity, whether that giant is problems in our marriage, Lord, whatever it is, Lord, you are the Almighty. Lord, might we Might we be like David and be able to stand and say, it is the Lord that rescues us. Thank you, Lord. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.